communication when you're not using your native language, when culturally communication is different, expectations on time, like what we said, time and deliverables, like you cannot over communicate enough. And
welcome to a new episode. Thanks for being here. Today, I talk with Lauren Brown. Lauren is head of investor relations for an international commercial real estate company that operates within Latin America. Lauren is based in Santiago de Chile, born in the US, a country that she left more than a decade ago to move to Mexico. After finishing a double master's in international business and Spanish, she has always been drawn to Latin America. And even though it's not in her blood, she believes that there has always been a Latina hidden inside of her. Previously, you heard Lauren talk about the importance of communication. You cannot over-communicate enough when working in a culturally diverse environment. That is just one of many of her valuable recommendations. When I asked her how she navigates through all the cultures that she interacts or interacted with, Lauren has lived and worked in several countries. She's been an entrepreneur, worked in startups, and currently works in a corporate environment. Both personally and professionally, she has a lot of experience of dealing and working with people from different cultural backgrounds. So, without further ado, I'm super to have Lauren as a guest on the show. I'm super happy to have Lauren as a guest on the show. Enjoy today's episode and welcome, Lauren. Welcome to the show. You have lived and worked in multiple countries in Latin America, but originally born in the US, which you left a decade ago, really. You're currently based in Santiago de Chile, where you are known as a community builder and a true connector. You work for an international corporate organization, which is a commercial real estate corporation. And I'm extremely curious to hear all about your story, how you ended up in Latin America, and how you navigate yourself through the extremely cultural diverse environment you operate in. So I want to wish you a very warm welcome. How are you?
Hi, thank you. Again, I'm so happy to be here. We've been trying to schedule this for a while, so I'm excited that we finally aligned.
No, I'm also extremely happy. And in terms of, navigating within cultural context, you know, the flexibility towards time is something that that is very welcome in Latin America, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Yeah. And so you have been outside of the US for more than a decade. Can you tell us a little bit about, how did your life look like back then, and why and when did you leave?
Yeah, of course. So growing up, I had the opportunity to travel quite a bit with my family to places that were not maybe so typical that people would travel to. One of our first big vacations was to Costa Rica. Another one was to Spain and Portugal. And then we went over to Morocco. And so I had various experiences pretty young where I got to see the world and see cultures and countries that were very different to my own. So growing up, I realized that there was a big world out there. And, you know, I grew up in a like upper middle class suburb of Boston, and it was pretty cookie cutter. And I just knew like there was a lot out there and I really wanted to see it. There was more than, you know, basically Pleasantville is where I lived. So I ended up studying international business and Spanish. My mom's family actually speaks French, but I was never taught French. And then when we had the opportunity to choose which language, I said, well, obviously I'm going to choose Spanish since more people in the world speak Spanish. Makes more sense. And then when I went to university, I ended up doing a double major in international business and Spanish. And I chose my university, which is Loyola University in Maryland. I specifically chose it because it had really good study abroad programs. So I kind of knew I was going to be traveling and was always very interested in that. So I ended up doing a semester, first semester in China and actually second semester in Argentina. And I originally wanted to do one full year abroad in Latin America. But when I went to the presentation on China, I was like, I have to go to China. And so then I ended up choosing Argentina because it was the hardest Spanish program. And I thought I needed to catch up since I missed a whole semester of not speaking Spanish. So anyways, that's a little backstory. And I kind of joke, you know, when I went to Argentina in university, I was 20 and turned 21 there. I was there for 6 months and then continued on to Peru for a month after that. Anyways, my time in Buenos Aires, it just like unlocked something in me. And it like opens up this whole new part of me that I didn't even know I had. I loved speaking Spanish. I loved the life there. And I kind of joked, like, I feel like I must have been Latina in another life because I've always been drawn to Latin America. And like I said, my mom's family speaks French. So really no particular reason, no Latin influences in my family, but I've always been drawn to Latin America. And after graduating, I had always envisioned that I would do something like Peace Corps or like volunteering or something like that for a few years after graduating. But, you know, as what happens when you're like in love and 21, you change your plans. So I ended up moving to San Francisco and starting an adventure there. And yeah, that was amazing. And I got to work with Kiva, which does microfinance, microloans. And I was actually working to help do some translating stuff and manage the translators who, you know, write about the people who are requesting loans. So I always had in me, like, I still wanted to go abroad. I didn't know how. And also Kiva had a really cool volunteer program that I was looking at as well. And yeah, it was funny because then as what happens when you're an adult, you get more stable. If you ever lived in San Francisco, you know, like your apartment is like gold. You can't let it go because if you do, you'll never get it back or the rent will be three times as much. So I had an amazing apartment. You know, I actually hated my job, but I was looking for other jobs and things were working out. But I was getting really settled in San Francisco. And I also felt like the time was going by and, you know, I still wanted to go back to Latin America. Now, like 3 years had gone by in San Francisco, but I didn't want to go back just to be a backpacker. While there's nothing wrong with that, you know, I wanted to go with a purpose and build a life, not just a vacation. One of the other experiences I had in San Francisco was working at the Impact Hub, which is a co-working space. One of the first big co-working spaces. They're now very international, Impact Hub. And a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of international people there in San Francisco. And one of my friends, I saw she had been traveling a lot. We connected for a coffee. And, you know, I was like, where have you been? What are you up to? She told me all about, you know, her travels and everything like that. And at this point, I was actually interviewing for a role as a headhunter at a tech company. So a tech recruiter. And I was very confident I was going to get it. I had multiple interviews. I'd already gone to Banana Republic and bought myself a full suit, bought myself all these clothes to be in the corporate world. And then I met up with this friend and she, you know, talked all about her company and what they were launching abroad. She was mostly in Europe and had just gotten back. And then at the very end of the conversation, she was like, "Hey, do you still want to go to Latin America?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I have my boyfriend, I have my apartment, I think I'm going to get this job." And then she goes, "Well, if you wanted to go, I have a job opportunity for you. And I think you'd be great at it because of your experience at Kiva and all this stuff. We want to launch in Mexico. I was like, well, you probably should have opened with that in the conversation instead of having that be like one of the last things that you mention of us meeting up. So very quickly, I was at a fork in the road. I ended up having the interview. It went really well. And I knew I could figure out what my life was going to look like if I stayed in San Francisco. I'd probably have a higher income, but I would still just, I'd have better clothes. I'd just gone on a shopping spree to Banana Republic, but I would probably be at the same type of happy hours complaining about not being happy at my 9 to 5. It would be like same, same, but different, right? But what I didn't know is what it would look like to go to Mexico. So imagine we met, I met up with, I had a few interviews and they said, great, we want you to start. Can you go to Mexico in 2 weeks? I was like, I haven't quit my job. I have a boyfriend I'm not sure what's happening with. I have an apartment. Give me a month and I'll figure it out. So again, I was like, I can visualize what it will look like if I stay in San Francisco. And I have no idea what will happen if I go to Mexico. And I know if I stay in San Francisco, I'm going to be regretting not going. And, you know, from there, kind of this like mantra that I tell a lot of people is you can always go back. You can always go back. And I figured if I could figure out this job in San Francisco, I could go back and find another one if I didn't like what I was doing in Mexico. So it also helped that, you know, my time in Mexico was supposed to be 3 months, which ended up turning into 1 year, which ended up turning into then going 2 years to Colombia. And now 6.5 to Chile. So, you know, maybe it was the mental strategy of thinking I was only going for 3 months, and now like 10 years have gone by. That also, that also might be a factor. But that's like that's the whole backstory in a nutshell, and then one thing flowed into the other.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so cool to hear you say this mantra of "there's always a way back." I can relate to that so much when I was living in the Netherlands in 2016 and I got the opportunity to go to Singapore for 3 months. I've never traveled to Asia before. And then I thought, yeah, okay, 3 months of my life, you know, what it will not harm me. Let's put it like this. And there's always a way back. And then 2 years of Japan followed, and then Chile, and then Peru. So you already said like one thing led to another. Mexico turned out to be a year, followed by Colombia. And in the meanwhile, you made quite some career moves as well. Am I right?
Yeah, for sure. So I always like to say also looking back, the dots connect. Maybe I didn't make some of the wisest decisions as a 24-year-old, 5-year-old financially, but you know, it's good to take risks while you're young and you can still rebuild. So anyways, I was in Mexico building this company that works with artisans. And then the idea was that I was going to continue on to another country. And again, 3 months ended up turning into a year. And they called me back to San Francisco and I was prepping to go to the next country, which I chose to be Colombia. And, you know, I got off my lease and I told everyone I'm moving to Colombia. I had everything planned. Thinking I was going with this job. And then they go, oh yeah, by the way, we actually were thinking and we want you to stay in San Francisco. I was like, what? I just got off my lease. Like, no, can't do it. And also, again, it was another one of those kind of crossroad moments where I had previously done, one of the things I did at a tech startup company was like working in customer service and marketing. And the part about customer service I'd hated was, you know, you're on the receiving end of the problems. It's reactive. You're not solving the problems before they happen. You're just getting yelled at. Most of the times I knew what the problems were going to be anyways, right? So they were like, you can come and be like head of customer service and learn more about marketing. And I thought I was just in Latin America on the ground working with people in a different language. Like there is no way, and I knew what didn't work about the company, right? Working with artisans, that's a whole other different type of cultural. They're not business mindset. They're artisans who live, you know, in remotely. They're not in the city. So to come back and then, you know, like I knew where the breakdowns were in the infrastructure, in the in the logistics. And so I didn't want to answer phone calls about what the problems with the logistics were, because I knew what they were. So I was thinking, no, like, I can't do this. So anyways, I ended up kind of just taking a leap of faith and going to Columbia. I mean, this was maybe the brazen thing. I thought that I could just figure it out. I got involved with network marketing, actually, and that was really growing in Columbia. And then while in Columbia, I also ended up doing a lot of freelance marketing, a lot of freelance writing, working with other entrepreneurs in Columbia, because there's a lot there. And then when I moved to Chile, again, I was doing a lot of independent work. I was doing coaching. Actually, you and I met when I was doing Instagram coaching, which is like, seems like 1,000 years ago. And then life coaching and also more like independent marketing and writing projects. And then here I ended up working with ProChile, which was really cool, promoting tech companies in the USA. So combining, you know, my experience working with tech companies in San Francisco, now to Chile. And then ironically, now I'm back in corporate America. I'm head of investor relations at an international commercial real estate company. We're in Chile, Peru, and Colombia. And I'm back. I used my suit now, right? I bought it like 10 years ago. They never go bad. They don't go out of style. I kept it in my mom's closet. And finally, 10 years later, I'm wearing the suit that I only wore once for the interview at the job and ended up not taking. So now I wear it, which is kind of like a funny full circle story. And then the other ironic part is, here I am in corporate America, or corporate Latin America. And I also have a new startup with my business partner called Trenza, and we do events for women. And now that I'm working full time, I have an entrepreneurial project that's exploding. So all these last 10 years trying to get something entrepreneurial off the ground. And now that I'm actually like busy and have a great career, now my entrepreneurial projects are growing. So it's quite funny, quite ironic, but definitely did not have a linear career path. And I'm finally grateful for it. So.
No, beautiful. And I mean, you said earlier, looking back, you know, the dots connect. I would say you're closing the loop. You know, the cycle is fulfilled, basically. Like your Banana Republic suit is actually in action as we speak. And so is your entrepreneurial desire. No, really cool, really inspiring to hear. And I mean, as you know, I help organizations to overcome cultural differences in the international environment, in the international workplace. So I'm beyond curious to hear how you are, you know, how you feel your American background or your American roots, so to say, play a part in, you know, being successful, being effective in your current role or within your entrepreneurial journey. How do you see that culture plays a part in the things that you do?
Wow, so much. So that was one of the things that also fueled me of wanting to study abroad and go abroad, is because I realized you can't learn international business from a book. And also, so much of international business is about the culture. It's about the history. It's about, you know, the sociology. And so I actually took a lot of history classes and poli-sci classes and sociology classes, especially, for instance, in Chile. If you come here and you don't realize that there's a dictatorship, like, it's still, even though it was 30 years ago, it affects so much of the mindset of how the culture is based, of how people react. And if you come here without, you know, that awareness, you're going to be really confused as to why some things run the way they run. But if you come realizing, like, there's still a huge trickle down effect, because now, right, I'm almost 35, but the people who are around my age, their parents grew up in the dictatorship. So people in my generation are still living in that fear that was passed down to them from their parents, right? So I think that's like a huge example of why it's so important to understand the history and the politics and the sociology of a country too, before you even do business, because it impacts so much. And that's what builds the culture of where you're living. Right. And then based on that, and even You can even think of like the geographic as well. For example, in Chile, we often say like Chile is kind of like an island because on one side you have the Andes Mountains, which divide, so they're before airplanes, right? It was way harder to get over here. Then on in the north, you have some of the biggest deserts in the world, the Atacama Desert. On the Pacific coast, you have the ocean. And then in the south, you have Antarctica. So, in some sense, Chile is kind of like an island, so it doesn't function the same way. Whereas if you think of like Colombia is a 3-4 hour flight to the USA, has a lot of like tropical Caribbean influences, has a lot of US influences, very different culturally, very different access to the US. Same thing with Mexico around the border. So even though people might group them all together, right? And then there's Brazil, which is a whole different language and everything like that. And anyway, so really, if you don't understand the politics and the history, you're definitely going to be at a disadvantage when you come to do business in a new country for sure. But yeah, I was thinking when I was just telling you about the company that I worked with when I went to Mexico, then they asked me to come back and do and work in San Francisco. It was really interesting culturally as well because the people I was working with were Russian, and a lot of them were like Russian developers. So that's a whole different mindset and work ethic. And then I'm American, but then I'm trying to coordinate with Mexican artisans. And now here I am in San Francisco trying to tell them about the urgency of why we need them to do all these telas, all these fabrics that they hand embroider. And that we need them now, but I'm trying to tell my Russian bosses, I can't just tell them they need them now. Like, they don't really work like that. You know what I mean? They also don't just have like supplies on hand to make that many, cloths because they just basically do it in their free time. It's actually not a business strategy for them. They're farmers, right? So here I was caught in the middle, which really felt like the middle because I had like this aggression, like this like aggressive, like Russian, we got to build a business fast. And then I was had just been there on the ground saying, no, they don't work like that. But also as an American, like, okay, come on, this is really slow. And then working with the other colleague who was in Mexico still being like, Isa, please, can you like tell them to hurry? She's like, not really, like they're on their own schedule. Right. So that was really interesting and trying, I felt like I was in the crossfire of like two very different business cultures. Which was really interesting. So,
Very dynamic, and I'm curious because I can completely relate to what you're saying, how history plays a part or how geographical accessibility plays a part in how a country and a culture shapes itself. And you were saying earlier that, in your role as head of investor relations, you operate in a highly international environment. You're, let's say, responsible for Chile, Peru, Colombia. And how do you navigate through the cultural differences that everyone else tries to generalize, right? Everyone else says, Latin America is one big culture, which of course you know it's not. So how do you navigate through that?
well, it hasn't been so complicated, I would say, my office, because I think we have a really strong like company culture, which almost like overrides those differences. And in those three countries, are all three of them are like kind of considered Andean countries. Although Colombia, I think maybe Peru and Chile might be a little bit more similar, like mentality wise. And Colombia, like I said, is more a Caribbean influence, et cetera. So it actually has not been so challenging to navigate.
Great.
I would say what is, I mean, between the three of them, I would say what has been more challenging, like, and you asked in the previous question about like being American. When I was working with ProChile and trying to help the tech companies go to the USA, a lot of these tech companies were super advanced here in Chile, but one of the things that they didn't understand when trying to go to the USA and pitch is like you have to be a different level of aggression and quick to respond and have everything ready. And here in Chile, I think a huge cultural business difference is that there's the petuto, right? The link, who got you into the job by who you know, because Chile is actually like this big, it's tiny. And when you're in the business world, everyone knows everyone. It's like one degree of separation. So the USA is like the wild, wild west. Like, you know, no one knows everyone the way people know people here, right? And so one of the things that was really interesting was seeing how these sophisticated business men, entrepreneurs who had these startups that were very successful, et cetera, trying to go pitch to the USA. You know, they didn't even have a one pager. They didn't have a pitch down. An American company would say, yes, I'm interested. Send me the info. And that's when you got a reply within 12 hours, 24 max, or you're forgotten. And they wouldn't even have like a pitch ready. And so that was really interesting. It's like, no, like, you know, you don't have people who you know there. You really have to show up. And if they don't answer you back, you have to keep messaging them. Hey, did you see my email? Hey, I haven't heard back from you. Right. I think that's a very different cultural mentality between Americans and, you know, Latins, or especially Chileans, who don't like confrontation. They're like, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to email him again. And USA, you're like, no, every week, if I don't have a follow up, I'm emailing you back. So I thought that was, there's a lot more differences between like LATAM to USA, for example, versus in between the three countries that I work for, that I'm working in. Because part of my job also is I speak with investors and analysts who are in Europe, who are in the USA, and who are in Latin America, and who are in Brazil too, which is quite different. So I think for me, some of my challenges culturally have been like inside the office maybe, and like just seeing how things run, you know, having different ideas of how things run, or internal communication or things like that. But also I haven't had so much experience in the corporate world, mostly just like tech startups, which is also a very different culture as well.
I loved how you, the example that you brought in about, you know, this Chilean tech companies pitching their business in the US. Because what I do with my customers and with my clients is that I train and educate them on cultural perception. And I really would like to use that example that you brought in, because if we look at the way we build trust in order to do business with a stranger, this differs a lot across the globe. So we tend in the Western world. Yeah. And in the Western world, I'm generalizing just for the sake of convenience. In the Western world, we tend to deviate emotional trust from the heart versus cognitive trust, which is trust from the brain. So emotional trust is more in the Western world used for home, friends, family. You know, you're my best friend, I trust you. You're my mother, I trust you. Where in emerging markets, and we still see that actually in the majority of LATAM as well, where cognitive trust from the brain and emotional trust is quite woven into each other, where, you know, we build trust through the human relation, where, you know, you know someone that knows someone that knows someone. And basically, how do I know that I get my money after doing business with you is not so much because we signed a contract. No, it's because I know you. I have seen who you are beyond your professional persona. You know, we invested in the relationship. And what I see a lot with my current clients is that when that cultural element is different, which it is in the US compared to, for example, Chile, you know, the cultural perception in the US, if someone from Chile goes to the US and pitch their company, is like, you don't take me serious. You know, you're just here to chit chat. You're just here to have a nice time, but you're not taking my American cooperation serious. You know, who do you think you are, really? And that is such an unfortunate missed opportunity, because we miss cues that are really important to drive business internationally.
I think that's a really good example. So when I was living in Colombia and working more independently and trying to meet up with people to, you know, talk about opportunities of business together, it was very common that people would arrive 15, 20, 30 minutes, 1 hour late, or cancel on you in the exact moment with some excuse, and you're already at the location you're supposed to meet at. Or they come late or whatever, or even if they come close to on time, they get there, and then it's this whole conversation about asking about your family, your dogs, your cats, your grandma, your everything under the sun, the christening, the wedding, all this stuff. And as, you know, someone from, you know, the Western culture, I'm looking at my watch thinking, when are we going to talk about the point of this meeting, which is this business opportunity? And all of a sudden they go, okay, got to go. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've been trying to schedule this meeting with you for 3 weeks. You are an hour late. And we didn't even talk about the main point of us being here. But what's so interesting, right, is like what you said, like that's like it, what I had to learn in Colombia is like, you have to do a lot of meetups before you can even talk about business, especially if it is like a cold, like it's not like a friend that you know, or like a, you, or, you know, as a foreigner being there and only lived there for a few months or a few years at that time, right? You really need to understand that the conversion time is way longer in those countries where you have to build that emotional trust first. And then the opposite is in the USA is they want you to come on time and start talking about the point of the meeting right away. Like what you said, it's almost like, I feel like you're disrespecting me if you came late and now you're talking about your grandma. I'm sorry, she's really nice, but like you're talking about your grandma instead of the business that we're trying to talk about. So I think that's something that's really interesting culturally, that you need to understand. And also especially to have those expectations when you go, for example, to somewhere like Colombia, is like, you're going to have to take, especially if you're doing sales, right? They usually say like sales, it takes like 6 to 8 experiences or presentations before you, on average, before you close the deal. And I feel like in maybe in LATAM, it might be even more than that, because some of those meetings, so many of them, you're not even talking about the product or the service. It's about, you know, getting to know each other. And then that's another part too, is where the afterwork culture or the hallway culture or the coffee culture is super important too at work. And especially also in LATAM, is like, is that like bonding outside, and you know, a lot of business happens at a cocktail hour or at a dinner, because it's building that trust, where I think maybe that's different in the USA, where you wouldn't go to a dinner meeting or a cocktail meeting very soon in your business relationship. But in LATAM, it's very important. And it's maybe more important than your meeting in the office.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if we look at, for example, Southern Europe as well, Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal, you know, there it's also much more important to invest time outside of work or outside of office hours with business relations in order to drive business and to create that fundament in order to trust each other moving forward. And that perception, you know, that cultural perception that we just touched upon, of course, works both ways, right? Because someone from Southern Europe would perceive someone that comes, for example, from Scandinavia or the US that doesn't need that human relationship in order to do business, because that's the simple thing. That person will be perceived as cold, you know, you're not willing to invest in me, you arrogant prick, you know, who do you think you are? Right. You know, I want to be seen, I want the recognition. So It's this cultural relativity where there's no wrong or right. It's just the, you know, what matters is the gaps and where they lay and how to navigate yourself through those.
It's like, you're so rude. You came late to the meeting and only talked about your family. And on the other side, it's like, you're so rude. You didn't even care about my family. All you want to do is a transaction, right? And so the other thing that's interesting too, which sometimes I fall into this, is if I'm at a store, you know, it's very natural in USA, like, hey, how much does this cost? And then they go, hola, ¿cómo estás? Bien, ¿y tú? And then I go, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Hi, how are you? Oh, you're good? Good. Okay, how much does this cost? It's like, but then, you know, it makes me realize, you know, this, it's not, they are people. It's not a robot. And I should have a more humane transaction with people. But, you know, sometimes it's just, I think that's really funny where I'm like, you know, at a store trying to just answer a question. And then they, instead of returning the answer, they say, hi, how are you? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't say hello first. Right.
Yeah, no, it's, I can completely relate to that. You know, like it's making this connection before you actually go to whatever the purpose is of that interaction. Right. And you're right. It's less transactional. It's more relational, really. Yeah. And so you're living in Santiago de Chile. You have been there for 6 years, am I, approximately?
Yeah, like 6.5, yeah.
6.5. And I mean, I dare to say that in the Chilean or in let's say the Santiago community, you're known as a true connector, you know, a true, let's say, networker, and you're very interested in the human relationship, which is probably also the nature of your entrepreneurial business that you have together with your business partner.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's also one of the reasons why I always liked Latin America, is because it was, you know, very family and friend focused and about building relationships and being in the moment and enjoying life a little more than maybe USA. In some senses. But yeah, so I've always loved connecting people. I have like, I guess it's like a natural talent where I meet someone and then I meet another person like, oh, you guys have to meet. I'm just very good at seeing where people can have synergies. I absolutely love that. And yeah, also, you know, being a foreigner in a new country, it can be really challenging to meet people. You know, it's actually maybe not that challenging to find people who are exactly from your country. For example, there's always like a group of, you know, Americans in Chile, but I didn't come to Chile to only meet Americans, right? Like I didn't come to Chile to speak English with Americans. So where there, it can be difficulties is breaking into the culture of the new country that you're living in. And so part of building Trenza was about like, one, how can we build friendships and relationships where people can meet people? It was also coming off of COVID and pandemic. And here in Chile, we were really locked down. And then it was also like, well, I don't just want to meet English speakers. I want to meet Spanish speakers. And Spanish speakers also want to meet English speakers. And we want it to be multicultural. We want it to be inviting for everyone. And it's just more fun, just a better experience when you have diversity in your life, when you have people from different perspectives who can share different perspectives. I love being able to speak two languages. I mean, you speak, I don't know how many, so many, but you think differently in each one. And the best is when you can use both of them with someone, because sometimes one word is better in one language than the other. But yeah, so my business partner and I, we started Trenza. It started out really small, basically based on personal relationships. Our first event, I called everyone and I said, hey, I'm starting this thing. I had previously done some other events. During the pandemic, they were online. They started offline, but that had a short run because then we were all locked down. And so then I moved them online. So I kind of already had a little bit of a reputation of organizing events. So the very first event, it was just calling people and saying, hey, come, it'd be great to see you again. This is what I'm starting. And, you know, a few viral TikToks later, our Instagram is now at 11.5K 11.5 thousand, which is like crazy. It's been 1 year and a half, and we've had almost 30 events. But yeah, and it's been wild. It's been really amazing just to see that there is such a need for people to connect, and especially when they move from other countries. It's and there's this combination of wanting to find people who are similar to your culture, and then once you feel a little more comfortable, it's like, okay, now I want to find people who are a little different, where I can learn a new language, where I can learn from their different perspectives, and also bond because we've had similar experiences, like moving to another country, but we're from different places. So in Trenza right now, it started off with a lot of English speakers, a lot of people from Europe, USA, things like that. And then now it's actually a lot of Latinas from Venezuela, Colombia, gosh, like everywhere, really, and Chile as well. And a lot of the people who are here, you know, that's like one of the common things that we share is we all have moved to a new country from our own country. And that is such a bonding experience because people who haven't done it, like, don't know how hard it is. And so, and that's an amazing, you know, connecting experience that people share no matter what country they're from.
I mean, it's so rewarding to see that something that started off just with a mission to connect women living in Chile or living in Santiago, and that hit the nail there. And, you know, the demand is, or the supply and demand is really, really, really impressive. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely gratifying. And the best is, like, some girls have gone to these events and they've made their best friends. And now they don't really go to the events because now they have their group of best friends that they made at some of the first events. And that's, like, really cool to see people on Instagram and they're hanging out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember when you guys met. And, you know, it's just so beautiful to feel like you helped bring people together by providing that space.
Extremely nice. Very good. And I mean, it's true what you're saying, you know, people that left their country, there is this bonding factor. The other day, I was talking to someone and, you know, I used a metaphor saying, you know, a fish scientifically cannot see water. This is the truth. Fish don't see water, right? So when you are, for example, an American and you live in the US, you don't see, you're not, let's say, aware of your surroundings. It's once you get out of that water and you move abroad, you know, you become more aware of your own culture, you become more aware of how you are as a human being, as an individual without that cultural community around you. And that really creates a bonding factor if you live abroad. And it's great to see that Trenza is providing a platform for all of these women to come together and for them to connect. Amazing.
Yeah, we're really excited. And like we said, supply and demand. We need to clone ourselves. We're trying to figure out what's next and how we keep this going. We're just two people right now, so it's a lot.
No, great. And what is on the wish list for what's next for Trenza?
Probably bringing online so we can reach more people, and hopefully hiring so we can do more events. So.
Yeah, so connecting more women, really, like being able to connect and to provide for bigger groups of women.
Yeah, exactly. And there are people who are not able to come to the in-person events or, you know, even want this community and they're in other countries. So creating some sort of platform or way that they can connect as well.
Great. You are navigating yourself through a very diverse cultural context, both personally, professionally, with Trenza. What would you say is your number one hack that has been your key to success and what you would maybe recommend others as well?
Wow. Well, I feel like the learning experiences have been endless. I mean, especially with Trenza is really interesting because we're going out there and looking for partnerships with, you know, restaurants, with service providers, things like that. And communication when you're not using your native language, when culturally communication is different, expectations on time, like what we said, time and deliverables, like you cannot over communicate enough. And so many times when something goes the way we didn't expect, we go, how could we have communicated better? Because obviously we had maybe this expectation based on our own experience, but maybe we didn't communicate that. Or, you know, how can I be like over clear in communicating? And then it's a part of that also to like not be upset when things don't go how you expected, because in another country, there are so many moments where they can be very laughable after the fact, maybe in the moment they're not so much, but you realize you're like, oh, that like totally was not what I expected it to be. And you just have to go with it, right? So I feel like I would say one of the hacks that I'm still trying to apply is just over communicate, over clarify, because there can be a lot lost in translation, even when you're speaking the same language, especially when it's culturally. And, you know, and there's a lot of like, and especially for expectations around timing of deliverables and things like that. And I think setting clear expectations too is one of the things we were trying to say with like a service provider is like, look, if you say you're going to have it on Wednesday, have it on Wednesday. A better strategy that people like to apply is say, I may be able to have it to you by Saturday. And then if you deliver it by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to be surprised that you did it early. Right? Instead of saying Wednesday and then now Saturday, I'm wondering, hey, did you do it? So, you know, those are some of the things that kind of showing those options, like those are very effective business strategies, right? Or like give yourself more time to do it so that you don't miss a deadline or, you know, don't commit to something. These are kind of like coaching opportunities that we've had with some service providers, right? But then also, you know, when we didn't get a service or something that we wanted is like, well, how did we not communicate that clear enough? But that was like the actual deadline or whatnot. So just communication is definitely a thing. Patience and, you know, being able to laugh and be flexible, because sometimes you might get it so wrong. And whether it's you say something wrong, like a faux pas in another language, or you inadvertently offend someone because of another language or kind of behavior. And it's also about like humility at that point is to apologize, because when you're in the other country, like you have to be respectful of that. That's the dominant culture. So when you screw up and you accidentally offend someone, yes, you can be sorry, I misunderstood because I'm American and we do it this way, but you have to say, no, I'm really sorry. That was totally not my intention. Like now I've learned how this works in your country or in your language. And I think that's also a big part too, is like being humble, because like what we talked about before, there is no right way. And like when I lived in China too, I was like, everyone's doing it backwards. Then I was thinking, wait, their civilization is like longer than American civilization. Maybe we're doing it backwards. Like there is no right or wrong way. And so those times is like very important to drop the ego and just be like, oh, I didn't see it your way. I'm sorry that I offended you. Cause you can definitely, there's definitely opportunities for messing up. And then when someone messed up to you, you can realize, how could I have communicated that better? And what could I learn from going forward?
I mean, I couldn't agree more, really. And I think also, if you apply that in a business environment, let's say a corporate environment that you're operating in, we look at communication from a high context and a low context perspective. So where we can see cultures that are more high context communicators, you know, they tend to communicate a lot in between the lines, which is great if you communicate with people from the same cultural background, because you share that context, right? But once you communicate across cultures or internationally, you know, the whole context changes, you know, it's fluid. So you could benefit much more from low context communication, which is very explicit, a lot of repetitions, preferably, you know, summarizing things in writing, which, you know, if you communicate across cultures, you know, a very explicit communication is very beneficial because it eliminates all the possibilities to for things to fall in between the lines, really, which is why very explicit communication really helps you to get your message across.
And there is kind of almost a benefit there when you are speaking different languages, different cultures, where you can ask more easily for clarification. Whereas, you know, I think this is also works in your own culture, in your own language, is there so many times problems happen because of a miscommunication or an assumption where one person is thinking there's a different context, right? But you're less likely to ask for clarification because it's your own culture, your own language. But so here, you know, we have the opportunity to be like, can you just repeat that just to make sure I'm on the same page?
Yeah.
So that's even something that could be applied to, you know, your own communication within your own country. But I feel like people are less likely to ask for clarification.
So, I mean, to summarize your hacks, I would say being humble, emphasize communication, have an open mind, and also learn from your mistakes and admit them and apologize once made. Beautiful. Lauren, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story. I feel that we could continue talking for hours about all your experiences, both personally and professionally. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon today that you want to emphasize or bring in or before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think doing business in another country is such an amazing opportunity. I feel like it is really exciting because you can see what's worked in other countries and then see how you can bring it to a new one. But then you always have to also, again, be humble, and it might not work the same way, right? You might have to change a few things when you go to another country, but it's really cool. It's really cool to do that. And I think the cross-cultural, sometimes the barriers and the struggles are actually like one of the most beautiful part when you can overcome them, because then you learn so much, you see a different perspective, and you like break into a new level with someone or a country. So I think sometimes people, you know, fear the differences of what's unknown, or I feel awkward or uncomfortable if I'm in this country and people are looking at me, or I have a bad accent, or all these things. But at the same time, is once you do it and then you become comfortable there and then you learn, it's just like it enriches so much your life experience and your professional experience. And I think, you know, you went to Asia and ended up staying there so long. I think something like Asia can feel so drastically different. And to go for a few months is like, you might be like, get me out of here. And I think a lot of times when people move abroad, the first few months, the first month is great. Month two and month three, you're like, what am I doing here? I gotta go. And it's kind of in that time where it's like, go through it. Like, this is the learning curve. And then it's something really beautiful at the end. So I would just encourage people who are struggling, maybe in a new country, whether it's personally or professionally, is to keep going. Because it does get easier and you end up learning so much about yourself in addition to learning so much about another country, another culture, and another business. So yeah, it definitely gets hard, then it gets easy. So keep going because it's worth it.
And you're the example, the role model that proves basically that once you're in there, you know, once you get comfortable and you learn a lot, that you can really build a life according to your desires and your dreams. So once it's tough, you know, keep that in mind. Thank you for adding that.
And then you can always go back too. If you really decide, you can always go back.
Right? That's so true. This is a lovely mantra. And I couldn't agree more. There's always a way to go back, and better to regret the things that you have done than the things that you haven't. Right. So,
No. Yes, exactly.
Thank you very much, Lauren, for your time, for sharing your stories. How, if people want to find you, find any of your work, find anything about Transa, how can they connect with you?
Sure. Probably the best way is through my Instagram, which is by Lauren Brown. And then Trenza is Trenza Chile. Yeah, those are the best places to reach me, and hope to stay in touch for sure.
I will make sure to link both these accounts in the show notes as well. And I recommend everyone to get in touch with you.
Yeah, for sure. We're always open to ideas, and my personal goal is having Trenza be international. So would love to see it grow into other countries. And I think, you know, another one last closing point is, you know, now we used to think that you had to go to different countries to see different cultures. Now it's like such a hodgepodge, such a melting pot. You know, in San Francisco on the subways, on the bus, they announce the stops in English, Spanish, and Mandarin. And now more than ever, I think it's more important for us to be aware of these cultures, because there's so much cross immigration between all the countries in all the world. And so, you know, if you think that you have to be aware that people are different than you, and be open to learning and open to realizing there is no right or wrong way. And there are so many different perspectives to view things. And it's cool. Now you don't actually necessarily need to leave your country to, you know, to have these cross-cultural experiences. And I think maybe that's something that people are not really so aware of yet. It's very, maybe especially in the USA, it's very territorial. Like, why is, you know, someone speaking a different language in my house type of thing. But now, you know, we're one big world, really. It's getting a lot more meshed together. So.
Oh, absolutely. Cool. And you see that in business as well. I mean, you don't need to be an expert in order to, or you don't need to have experts as a business in order to have cultural challenges or international cross-cultural opportunities, right? We're super connected, which is great, through video, through audio, etc. But that is also tricky, because we tend to forget that we all come from a cultural background. So I would really... I really support your message there, that, you know, we need to be humble, and we also need to keep being aware of the fact that even though we're connected and we speak the same language, whether if that's English, Spanish, or any other language, you know, we not always speak the actual same language. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you again. It was so great to be on here. And yeah, follow me on Instagram by Lauren Brown, and looking forward to connecting with you.
Thanks a lot for listening to the interview with Lauren Brown. And before I let you go, I want to tell you